anybody has dialed in yet over the internet, welcome to the show. Still 5 minutes before the hour. And I just want to share a little post over here. It was posted by Dr. Tom Muresso. This was yesterday, so the day after the 21st. So here it is, the shift of the ages, December 21st, 2012. Are you still here? Did the world end? Are we experiencing an awakened consciousness? The answers are yes, yes, and yes. Yes, we are still here. But it's not the same you and me, is it? Keep reading. And yes, the world did end, the world as we knew it. And this alignment of planets, the precision of the equinoxes, our entering into the age of Aquarius has indeed woken us up. Well, most of us. Certainly, those of you reading this and gently nudging, you're still sleeping. Did I say that right? And friends, a post on Facebook and Twitter. But look around you. The world is different, isn't it? I mean, your world, your reality. That's because you're awakened eyes, listening with new ears, trusting your heart, your instinct, your intuition. You're putting out a vibrational frequency that attracts people, events, and circumstances that resonate with it. All right, it goes on still a little bit longer. I'll mail it to you, Marilyn and Dave. And
oh. Yeah, it's very good.
I think it's bright on.
Yeah.
I want to, from those who just joined in, this is a good healing call. Please say your name and location.
Carolyn from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. How are you today?
Fantastic, Carolyn. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. I believe more people have... Go ahead.
This is Donna from Kingman. Good morning.
Good morning, Donna. How are you doing?
Well, how are you?
Fantastic.
Merry Christmas, Donna from Kingman.
Oh, thank you. Merry Christmas to everyone, too.
All right, and if more people have joined who want to announce themselves, feel free to do so. I welcome you all.
Donna in Kingman, weren't you supposed to call Mike and wake him up and make sure he was on Sunday's call? Wasn't that part of your job, substitute mom?
No.
Dave, did your kids arrive?
No, I called last night. They'd stopped in Iowa to overnight, and they're on the road today, but there seemed to be a traffic accident way down the road, so who knows when they'll get here.
I want to welcome the person who just joined in. Please say your name and location. We had a few more people join in. If you want to do so, please say your name and location. Hi, Joel. How are you doing? All right. Is it snowing in Chicago?
What's that? No, it's kind of feeling cold. It's getting really settling into winter.
All right.
Okay.
Welcome to...
Hello. This is Ray from Nevada.
Hi, Ray. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hi. How about you?
Fantastic, man.
I'll see you're good and raise you to fantastic. Your bid.
Hi.
Wind surmising the whole thing on coast to coast. I mean, it's such a short period of time. But, you know, loving this back. You know, the
I heard that, yes, but I didn't listen.
So short, so sweet, he said, this is it, and the cast your vote. Like,
that's awesome, yes. And so was the call on Friday evening. I think it was awesome.
Oh, the close on Friday evening was absolutely incredible. was divinely inspired. He did the grid healing, and he's actually out of it. Said what he felt from the heart, and I thought it was incredible.
Yes. I welcome who just joined in. This is a great call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry.
Good morning, Terry. How you doing, babe?
I'm doing good. I'm in Sedona.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Welcome.
Somebody else joined in with you, Terry, and I asked a person to step up and name a location.
Hi, it's Robin. Welcome.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I welcome the next name a location.
Hello, Wim. Michael Waterville.
Call me Wynn. I will listen. I'm not...
Hey, hi. I told you to stop impersonating me.
Good morning, Michael, and good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Where's Daphne?
Where's Daphne?
Daphne.
She'll probably show up. You know, Daphne's not able to handle the energy of these calls as consistently as Terry and I, so, besides, we don't pay her enough to be responsible.
That was there Friday night.
So if we all work on some focus and intent, maybe as a group to try and combat that, I think we have the ability to help.
You mean getting Daphne to wake up on time, or
I mean, we as a group, if she is having, you know, negative detrimental effects due to her accessing this, that we as a conscious group should be able to reach out there and do a group pool and affect them in a positive way, if that's her, in the her and our desire to do so.
Well, you know what? After 10 years...
There's a lot more of us now.
Yeah, there's a lot more. But keep in mind, being that there's a lot more, it becomes a lot more scary.
Yeah. Why is that?
I've heard of nothing but, you know, everything I've heard so far. And when you go through all of it, I've went in and just done background and looking at, you know, a lot of it, which I, like, I had your book now for a couple of years that someone had given me, and I hadn't read it. And, you know, about 8 months ago, I read that and been following the group ever since. And there's a tremendous amount of the Law of One, you know, all those books as well. And
oh, yeah.
I think it's, you know, tremendous. One of the things that David Wilcox says, and it's the same thing, but I can't find anything that doesn't fit into it. You know, I've gone into the whole thing of quantum physics and different books. And when you really look at it, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, it's incredibly cozy. And we're talking, you know, I think when I finish it, I'll be close to 6,000 pages. It really is. It works awesome. You and David Wilcox have the same way of teaching it within your book. That you give the concept in the beginning, you show it all, and then you keep going. Your hand holding is incredible. Really hard to find the material capable of conveying such vast thoughts. But, you know,
it's really interesting. I got an email from somebody this morning that said, "Wynn, you have to learn how to be on coast to coast. You missed this great opportunity. Every other sentence, you should have been promoting your book."
But the book is the message. That's a brilliant point.
I do. Yeah, Joe, I think that's great how you say that.
Joe, I think you should do this call this morning. Jeez.
What you guys have put out there is just really, 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 really too.
Thank you.
Your dedication in your life, and you realize that all of these people, when you go back to and you research that, they all kind of have this same sense where people have lived with them, they help people out. They do it not because they're doing it for money, they're doing it because they believe that they're, what they're doing is a good job for the important. If you're looking at that, you know, when you look at the harvest that comes down to that, and you're looking at that, maybe
muted. Unmuted.
That we need to come from, and all that we have to let that to greater masses in order to raise that. I mean, if not, I mean, if it is real culpable, and divinity is right here, it's been veiled from the humanity and from those that don't want to hire them. They want to keep people in, you know, the same sound bite, cycle after cycle. But now here's an opportunity to open your eyes and realize that, you know, divinity is right in front of our faces.
Is that Joe?
I'm Joel in Chicago.
Joel, you should
I've
be.
I've written you a couple times.
I remember now, Joel. I forget your name, but you should be one of my promoters. Okay,
I am promoting you right now.
Right here, live on BBS.
I really did. I intend to. I will probably work tonight to make sure that you guys sit down. I'm old.
Thank you.
And I put my money on offer.
All right. Go ahead, Hive. Take it
all right. We had a bunch of more people joining in here lately. Welcome, everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location if you have a chance.
Zoe.
That was a bunch of time. I heard Zoe. Hello, Zoe. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Girls first, please.
Susan in Mesa.
Good morning, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Happy holidays to everyone from Jim and Sedona.
Hello, Jim, and I also heard Hannah to you folks.
Bob and Chico.
Hello, Bob.
All right, Chico.
How you doing, hi?
Good, I'll be at Chico tomorrow.
We'll have to hook up sometime.
All right.
Hi, it's Claire, New Jersey.
Good morning, Claire, welcome to the call.
Hi,
it's VC in Burbank.
How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, is it VC? I thought it was DC.
Like Victor Charles.
Okay, good.
He's one of the Viet Cong that came to the United States and made good. He changed his accent, so we'd never know.
I've been outed.
Good morning, Rock Paul. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, this is Kim, Boston, California.
I hear Kim from Florida, probably.
No, Kim from Minnesota.
From Minnesota, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Francis
from Concord, California.
Hi, Francis.
Hi.
Francis, you're sounding good this morning.
Yeah, getting younger.
And younger.
Did you hear me? Thank you. This is Carolyn. I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, hi, Carolyn. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm okay.
All right. Just okay?
It's 1 o'clock here in the afternoon. Just so, you know, because there's 3 hours time difference between East and West Coast.
All right.
By the way, that's Carolyn, formerly from Uganda.
Gary,
who's this from Washington?
Gary.
Hi, Gary. Welcome to the call. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is John in Coeur d'Alene.
Hello, welcome to the call. And hello, John. Also, welcome to the call.
Oh, thanks. From Aspen.
Aspen. Good morning, Aspen. Is there snow on the ground?
Yes, there is.
Right. Aspen is that one of the places where all the famous skiers go, isn't it?
Some. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's we're gearing up here for Christmas. It's pretty busy right now.
All right. And who is from Coeur d'Alene?
It's Martha. Hi.
That's what I thought. I didn't hear your name. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Wynn. And everybody else.
Do you have a special word of wisdom for us this morning?
Love.
All right.
good.
Oh, I love it.
Gary, Arizona Beach.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Good.
Good morning. This is Kathleen in Denver.
Hello, Kathleen. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning.
When you were awesome on Friday on Coast.
Yeah, but I got a critique from somebody that said I didn't mention my book enough.
That drives some people away,
Wayne,
you know.
You were perfect. The information, I was extremely excited about the way that you did the interview. I think it was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Will
there be a replay?
I recorded it, so I'm going to send it out to everybody.
Cool.
Good.
I'd like to hear it.
Believe it or not, I've been sleeping since Friday.
So have I.
And I had that resistance this morning, and I sang, I'm overexposing myself. I can't do this. Sunday.
I come here for a recharge.
All right. Wim?
Yes.
I thank you for that note on cancer and asparagus and all that. But I was looking for something for shingles. Is it?
Lysine. L-Y-S-I-N-E. Lysine and shingles up. See what you get on the internet.
I've seen that as well. I have a friend that's done that three times for shingles. Lysine and saw a really, really strong effect within like 2 days. It took it, you know, like, right up and they fell off.
Lysine is also good for herpes outbreaks. Yeah. Okay?
It's also just good in general.
Yeah.
It's an amino acid.
I want to welcome those who just joined in here lately. If you want to do so, please say your name and location. Well.
Is it?
All right. It's 10-12, Wynn and 10-12. Terry. Ready or not?
And all of you that are on BBS, welcome to you. And just a moment. Oh, good. Doug is listening. Did music go down? By the way, the music that starts this is... do I have a link? I think I have a link in sales. It's Daphne's... As an album of music called Chiron Wind. And believe it or not, I didn't give him credit because I thought he would be mad if I gave him credit because I'd be using his name to promote it. So, but Daphne, after the first time we were together, she was living with her mother.
Is when?
I don't know if I want to. Should I record this? All right, I'll record it.
Here we go.
Hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody. This is December, let me see here, 23rd, one day before Christmas Eve, 2012. And my name is Wynn Free, and we have Terry Brown on the line. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
And this is what we call our Sunday grid healing. And really, it's an amazing experience where we can gather on a phone line and on the internet and have these invisible consciousness, which we call the Elohim and Ra groups, join us. We think, they say it's them, and then they talk to us and create a experience of a huge group energy. And if you're listening for the first time today, just get your mind out of the way, and it's like getting on a flow, getting on a train, and either you're on the train or you're
watching the train go by. And so the way to get on the train is just to be neutral, stop thinking about it, and go with the flow. And you don't have to do that. Sometimes for months people watch the train before they feel comfortable getting on it. And it's a consciousness train. It's not a physical train. It's like everyone has a multi-dimensional consciousness. And most often, we don't access that. And we hold our consciousness in a fixed position where we don't even know we're doing that. And that fixed position feels like this is who you are. And that's an illusion. But we're so used to it that we don't realize there's other possibilities. And you can't expand who you are using your brain, because your brain is inside that model of who you are. And you can access larger parts of yourself by going into situations that are holding the energy of the larger part of yourself. So something happens. It's like magic. It's not really magic, but if you're not used to it, it's like magic, because suddenly something shifts. Now, everyone has had the experience of something shifting in them and expanding. You don't have to come to these calls to have that experience. It's like if you're on top of a mountain and looking at this wide expanse of valleys and cities, there's that moment where you feel really expanded, where sometimes there's a chill that comes through you. And in fact, you are expanded because you're on the top of a mountain and there's no impediments to the expansion of your auric field. It expands for most people into the whole area that they can see. And you experience that as a sense of expansion. And that's an example. Except that's not a train you can stay on unless you move to the top of a mountain and live there. And even in that case, you'll probably lose it, because everything becomes eventually contracted to your normal way of viewing things. Like if you live in a beautiful city, oftentimes, usually, you first go there and say, wow, what a great city. And after a while, it kind of flattens out. And so the key is how do you move to this higher vantage point and be able to hold it? Well, one of the things is to keep going somewhere that provokes that in you, and it starts to internalize. Now, actually, even when it internalizes, you get to the place where the experience flattens out. It flattens out because, how do I say it? Because there's nothing to compare it to. The way we know we're in a certain experience is because we have a reference point of another experience to compare it to. And in the comparison, you say, I've arrived somewhere. But once you hold that new space where you've arrived to, it flattens out, and you know that you're different than you were before. You can use your memory and you can go access it, but you still feel the same. You don't feel expanded or exalted. And so it's okay, because you can operate and do things that you couldn't do before. You could be of much greater service to people than you were before, because now you have the new responsibility of being a reference point for other people. And then you can see, geez, I am somewhere different because I can do this and other people are being touched and moved. And now you're a teacher. But you're not teaching. You're not like an ego joke, well, I'm a teacher. It's just that maybe teacher is not the right word. You are an inspirer. You are holding the energy. You learn to, you know, when you're going through this place of comparing yourself from being at a lower place and a higher place, when you meet somebody who is holding a lower, the space of a more contracted consciousness, you'll move into their space and you'll think you're losing it. And then you don't want to avoid people, or you want to avoid people for a while so you don't get pulled in and that you can anchor yourself. But as you anchor yourself, you will learn how to do that for other people. And one of the things is to know how to enter into something and pull back. Enter in and pull back. And that way, you don't get pulled into the more contracted consciousness, but you move into it and pull back, so you leave a trail from where that consciousness is to the place you're holding. And the person then has the choice to follow that trail. And that's how you become a teacher. Not by the words you say. Like, I mean, you can say the right words and can help someone, but it's not the words. It's leaving a trail into higher expansion without getting caught in a more contracted energy. And so that's what's happening on these calls. We're creating trails. And it didn't happen like in one big fell swoop. It happened tiny bits at a time. And I'm just saying this because I've been learning. I'm watching, I'm observing. You know, from the time we started this 10 years ago, when I say started, I don't know if we started it 10 years ago. I started myself thinking, I must be crazy. I must be missing something. This can't be real. And when Daphne and I were living in a little apartment in Pomona, California, and you know, we didn't come together to do this. We came together to play music. We were both musicians. And she heard my songs and said, wow, you should be famous. And I heard her harp playing and I said, wow, you're really phenomenal. And it was the met. Yeah, I forget. I have to go look and see how long it was after we first met each other that we had that now famous trip from L.A. to Portland, Oregon, where I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And she answered. And now I'm bringing it back to the comments I was making before we started recording, and that was that piece you heard that opens up all of our talks is Daphne's harp. That was Daphne's harp playing today. And I remember when we talked about it and we had sessions about it, they said that her playing would incorporate Elohim frequencies. So it was a way that people could expand into a higher consciousness. And of course, music does that in general. It bypasses the mind, and it helps people expand into the consciousness of where that music was created from. And if you listen to Daphne's harp playing or any of her music, there is something really phenomenal about the way she puts melodies together, because she's always improvising, and it'll be playing. And I want to see if I can put this in words, because there's something about this that is similar to life. It's something that can be expanded. She will start on a riff, a melody, and you think you know where she's going. And just about the point where you think you can anticipate the note or the phrase that's coming next, she changes it. And it's suddenly slightly different. And it pulls you in, because you say, where is she going to go next? And then it switches and changes. So it keeps you, your attention glued to it. It pulls your consciousness in. And therein, you suddenly find yourself in a new space. Now, you know, that is like life. By the way, I'll give Daphne a commercial here. If you go to store.intelligent-infinity, I think I have Daphne's album up there. And I think there's about 7 songs. And what I was going to say was, you'll notice there's a backup musician playing drums. Sometimes he's playing flute. And the backup musician is David Wilcock. And Daphne, after Daphne and I had separated after our first time in Pomona, this first 6 months we were together, David had heard her harp playing and invited her. David was living at Carla Ruckert's house, and he invited her to come visit Carla Ruckert, because he wanted to do a recording with her. And that's that recording that's on Chiron Wind, is David and Carla, David and Daphne. But I didn't mention David on the website, because I thought David might not want to be associated. Not because I didn't want to give him credit, but he's gotten so famous that I didn't want to use his name to promote Daphne's music. So in any case, now I said it. David, if you're listening, I'm only telling the truth. And but this idea of always managing to break out of a predictable rhythm, which Daphne does in her music, this idea of it is an incredible concept to apply to your life. Because when a rhythm gets established, it holds a space, and you start living in the groove of that space, and eventually there's something more, and you don't want to let go of the rhythm that's established. And learning how to be in a rhythm and break out of a rhythm, and be back in a new rhythm, and break out of it, puts you on a spiral of evolution. It keeps you in motion. And in fact, the only reason that I can sit here and talk to you guys for so long, I mean, truthfully, I don't really believe I can do this. You know, we did a 2-hour thing on Friday, for the Mayan calendar, and it was a duplicate of this goal. And then that night, I did George Norrie. And even though when I do this, it seems really effortless, and it is effortless, there's an aspect to it where we are all joining energies. We are all coming together. I'm feeling all of your energies. Terry is feeling them. And that at a certain point, when it's over, I have to release everything and go back to a different rhythm than the rhythm that's on these calls. And so on Friday, I think, yesterday, I slept all day. I couldn't wake up. That's one of the ways that I release stuff. I just go to sleep. And this morning, I'm saying, geez, have I released everything from Friday yet? Probably not. Do I want to show up today? No. Uh-oh. What if I'm boring? What if I don't get into it? And, of course, I've felt that enough to know that it's not true, that if I show up, it starts to happen again. It's kind of an amazing experience, no matter how much resistance I have. And I see that this is true for everybody. The very things that you can do where the energy would flow, invariably, there's a lot of resistance before you do it. And I can go through my life and say how many things I missed because I felt that resistance. And instead of stepping through it, I didn't do something. And I know I've demonstrated and proven to myself over and over again that it works to step through it. And the stepping through it is the risk you take when something is in rhythm. Going back to Daphne's music, there's a predictable rhythm, and that's what you're used to. And when, as soon as you go outside of the rhythm or the melody, you take a risk. And after a while, the risk can become built into the rhythm, so to speak. So you don't even experience it as a risk anymore, because it just happens naturally. But when you first start exploring this, it always feels like a risk. It's always scary. So you have to push yourself a little bit to actually take the action that will move you out of the rhythm and into the risk area, because that's the area where something new can happen. That's the area where you can have what you really want or think you want. That's the area where synchronicities occur. In those areas where you do a jag instead of a zig, and you have to follow your intuitions. And when you're doing this, even when you're following, this is my experience, even when I'm following my intuitions, I don't even realize I'm following my intuitions. It's like I would remember there were times when I was supposed to go somewhere, and I would be late, and I would get lost. And suddenly, because I was late and I was lost, something happened. It was like a synchronicity. And I realized there was something that was guiding me to be late and get lost. But at the time, it felt like I was being irresponsible because I wasn't going to show up for something in the right time. So it's hard to know. I can't even tell you. How do you follow your intuitions? I mean, it's going to be different for everybody. Some people are just going to feel a strong feeling. Like Terry has seen me do this, where we're going to go out for dinner. And, there's probably about 15 restaurants in Sedona. And if I'm really onto it, I'll drive up the street, and suddenly I'll change our plans because we're going to go to one restaurant. I say, no, I want to go there. And on some level, I can feel the energy in a restaurant, and I choose it. And you might try that. Pick a few restaurants and drive by them and see which one calls on you. And then something will happen in that restaurant. We'll meet somebody that we wouldn't have met if we didn't go to that restaurant. So I've learned to leave myself room to make unpredictable, unplanned decisions spontaneously. Terry, are you on the line? Hello, Terry.
Yes, I am. Hi, I'm on the line, yes.
Did I ever do that? Did you ever see me do that?
Oh, definitely. Or maybe you'll change your mind on the way there of where you want to go. Sometimes you say we're going to go to a restaurant, and then we leave an hour and a half late, and then something amazing happens.
Right. Well, now, you see, I my mind has no idea what I'm doing, but what I'm doing is I'm taking a zag instead of a zig, and it becomes a fun adventure. And when you add that element of adventure to your life is when you have something great happen. Like another way to apply your intuitions and to make good choices, at least a way that I've used, and I'll share it. I used to hate dealing with regimented structures, like getting insurance and, finding a doctor, finding a chiropractor, finding a mechanic. And I used to look, and I'd always pick the first thing that came out. I'd say, well, this is the one that's meant to be. And so now, if I'm looking for something special, what I'll do is I will go into the internet and I'll look up the topic. For example, let's suppose I want a chiropractor. I'll give you an example. When Terry and I were sick, I decided we should go to an acupuncturist. And when I lived in California, in L.A., I learned that acupuncture would always, always knock a flu out. And there was an acupuncture college in Santa Monica, and it was fairly cheap, I think $25, because the students would work on you under the auspices of the teacher. And so when we were so sick, we went to an acupuncturist, and what I did was I looked at all the acupuncturists in Sedona, and I called them. I listened to their answering machines. I listened to who answered the phone, and I didn't make a decision. It's like I let myself not be obligated if I talked to somebody to say, okay, make an appointment, because I wanted to have 10 choices. And then I knew if I had 10 choices, one or two would stand out, and that's who I would go to. And I would apply my intuitions. I could feel the energy. Even if there was somebody in who was the person that answered the telephone, I would I could tell from the person that answered the telephone a huge amount about the doctor, the office, because they would be, in most cases, they would be connected to his energy. And if I didn't feel a really loving, caring energy, I would pass. I've done this with mechanics, same thing.
It's like when you're looking, if you're looking for a job, instead of thinking like you're desperate and, oh, please help me, I need a job, my family's starving, put yourself in the decision-making thing where you find some company or some office that when you call them, they sound loving and feel the energy. And then go in and say, you know, I chose you guys. You sound like the most loving store in town, and I hope you have a position for me. Do you know what? If you've actually done all that, and when you say it, you're authentic, the guy is going to really like you. He'll want to have you. You know, you can do this. I've done this with radio show interviews. Instead of looking at the name of somebody that interviews, I listened to their show. And I said, would that guy like me? Could he connect with me? Could we interface? And then I call him. And usually, when he finds out that I actually listened to his show and that I actually believed that he would connect with me, he's more predisposed to put me on a show. Now, that was not the way it worked with George Norrie, because I tried with George Norrie. You know, believe it or not, I wanted to be on George Norrie. I was on George Norrie one time when The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce came out with David Wilcock. And I only talked about the book. It was inappropriate to bring up any of my other experiences on that show. And then I thought, God, I was on. George would really love to hear all the stuff that happened. You know, I was still a newbie at the time. It was 2004. But George would love to hear all this stuff about the Elohim and all these experiences that I had. But I couldn't get through. Nobody would ever talk to me. And it was not happening. So then, I mean, just to give you an idea of how hard it was, I think it was in 2008 and 2009, there was a event in the L.A. area that was put on by two people, Sri Ram and Kira, who were, I guess, they have books out. They've been on George Norrie. They channel. They talk to angelic forces. And they invited me to speak at their event in L.A. They're putting together a 212 Expo. And George Norrie was the master of ceremonies. And he introduced me. And he knew who I was because I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and he had David Wilcock on numerous times from the time that happened. And so I'm coming in from the back of the stage, and his producer was there, and I handed both his producer and George a printed copy of the Creator God book, and I said, you've got to read this, and I want to be on your show. But nothing happened. Nothing happened. And, you know, I think it was 2 years later, it was this year, I had put up my new website, the Intelligent Infinity website, and, you know, I was always how would I say this? I was a little scared about being completely forthright on a website as to what was happening with me. I said, I'm going to get negative attacks. I'm going to challenge religious people. And so I never said exactly what was happening, but I beat around the bush and said, click here or buy this to find out what it's all about. And when I put up Intelligent Infinity, I felt a wave of feeling supported. There were enough people that had been coming into my calls and were getting great responses that I felt the energy of that support, and I wasn't afraid. Or I was a little bit afraid, but, you know, I pushed through it. Because to tell the story so forthrightly in a public way was scary, but I did it. And again, what I've learned about doing creative things is that I jump into it, but I don't know completely what I'm going to do. It's like I just start and see where it goes. And the creativity was hitting me, and I liked the video I did. You know, some of you saw it, the crazy story of Win Free, where I instead of trying to tell people to believe anything, I told my story, and I told it in a way that would make people curious. I hoped, you know, you never know when you put something out like that. Until it's out there, you don't know how people are going to respond. So it was a risk. And, of course, then it went to the page with all the videos, with the Elohim excerpts. And, of course, now we have all the archives of these shows that Bogdan in Sweden has put up. In fact, he didn't even tell me he was doing it. He just said, oh, I did this little thing. What do you think? And there we had the Spirit Channel with all the archives up on it. I got to remember, I shouldn't sniff into the phone. I'll try to mute myself for Gabriel. I think it was Gabriel. Hey, Gabriel. So what happened was, I guess about 6 or 7 months ago, I sent the producer of Coast to Coast and a link to my new website, and I hoped that she would look at it. And I never heard from her. So a couple of months later, I called her, and she actually picked up the phone. And then we talked for a couple hours, and she really, I could tell, I was really reaching her. She was really listening to me. And she said, what are you doing tonight? Why don't you go on for the first hour? And, you know, I think, you see, I understand why it's hard to get on shows like that. Because there's an aspect of what I say, which is, Terry, are you making noise?
Sorry.
There's an aspect to what I say that just as I'm taking a risk, they're taking a risk because it pushes the limits. It pushes the limits for a lot of people. It doesn't fit into a normal groove, and people that are attached to a groove, if when I say attached to a groove, they identify with being, I'm a New Age person, or I'm a Christian, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. Sometimes those people can have a hard time with me, or with my work, because it pushes the limits of their own belief system. And other times, I get, and this is more so the case, I usually don't get any, get very few negative emails from people. And more often, I get emails like, this fills in all the dots. This is what I've always looked for. Because obviously, within religion, with every religion, there's a certain aspect to it that you can't validate anymore. And you read the religious tracts, and people say, this is the truth. You have to believe this. And yet, you can't prove it. So how do you know it's the truth? How do you know things have not gotten distorted? How do you know something amazing happened, and then it got distorted over millenniums, and now people are looking at something 2,000 years ago or however many thousand years ago and say, this is the truth, and where is the truth today? Is it 2,000 years ago? No, today is today. Is there things to be learned about things 2,000 years ago? Absolutely. But this is the truth today, and it's in front of all of our eyes, and it's transparent. It's showing up three times a week. Now, I think it's the truth. Okay, I shouldn't say it's the truth, because everyone has to come to their own conclusion, but I think it is. I think it's as close to truth as you're going to find in terms of who God is, how the other side works. And this is probably what's occurred throughout history and got perverted over the years, over the millenniums, because when you're in the face of it, the truth is never something that happened in the past. The truth is always the moment, being in the moment, being in the space of the expansion of the moment, and it's a flow. It's not a ritual. It's not a worshiping of something. The truth is a flow. And when you step into the flow, you're living it. And when you're outside of the flow, you're looking at it. It's like the train that I mentioned at the beginning of this talk. Either you're on the train, and when you're on the train, you're in the flow. You're in the movement. And you don't realize you're on a train unless you look out the window and see everything whirring by you. But if you're not on the train, and you're watching the train is whirring by, you see it speeding by, and you say to yourself, you have no experience of what it's like to be on the train. So when you're on these calls, I was making the parallel that there is a train on this call that takes off at the beginning of the call. And if you're with it, you're on the train, and we can feel each other, and we don't even realize that there's an off the train. But there's other people that are watching or here that are not on the train. They're looking at the train and they're saying, what's happening? I don't trust that. I'm not letting go. And you know what? It's okay to watch the train, because especially if you're first coming into the call, because you have to learn to trust what happens here. You have to learn to trust the intent of our sources. You have to make sure there's no trick involved and that you're not being seduced into something negative. That's a very reasonable thing to be concerned about, because things that are of the negative can look good. And then you can make your own choice. And in fact, you probably won't make it consciously. You just keep showing up, and one day you'll say, oh, I see what he meant. I can feel it now. I'm on the train. And then you start to learn how to expand yourself, how to be more than you are or were, how to tap into your essence and live from it, because that's what's present here. Each of you has a jewel inside you. Each of you has a precious jewel, your heart, your love, your care. And you're all in this world that where those things are not responded to, where people are, so many people have closed those things off. And you can feel lonely. You can feel like, what am I doing here? No one cares. I want to care. And you have to get very strong to be able to withstand the world and hold that space. And that's what I hope is happening and we're helping people to do on these calls. And this is called our planetary and personal healing session. And I said, I'm not going to have anything to talk about tonight. Here I am talking. What we have is a list of people. We have a healing page. And we put them in the light. Now, you don't have to be on the healing page. Just the fact that you start feeling this energy, it means there's healing going on. There's shifts going on. But for many people, physicalizing it, putting it in writing, seeing it on the internet helps to anchor that. And every week, people put things, well, we use the terminology, putting it into the light. And I read a few of these here. And just because I read it and I don't read yours doesn't mean you're excluded, okay? You are included. And if you want to get read, put it in last minute because I go right down the line. And, you know, we used to have a small group here on Sundays for many, many months of, say, 30 or 40 people, 20 people. You know, now we have hundreds of people. But when we had 20, 30 people, people used to put these things in verbally at the beginning of the calls. And after we were on George Norrie, couldn't do that anymore. We tried. I tried different ways of doing it. And it didn't work, too many people. So then I started a list. And I invite all of you to take some time during the week, even one little moment, one little 10-minute segment, and go to the healing page and just send love to all of those people. Just read them. There's music in the background. It's very, it's got a good atmosphere to it. And see, just add your energy. And if you need to put yourself on there, put yourself on there. If you want to put yourself on, there's a little form called In the Light, all one word, inthelight.intelligent-infinity.com, and put it on. And it shows up automatically on the page. So we have Re. And Re asks for prosperity and abundant loving joy for everyone. And then we have Linda in Bunk's Corner, South Carolina, who was sending the light to her 13-year-old granddaughter. And we have Pat in, I think it's Bam, Alabama, who wants to release all negative emotions between her daughter and herself. And then we have Martha sending the light to Bob King and his family and loved ones, who unexpectedly passed this weekend. And then we have Heis, who is sending the light to Daphne. And we have Ray in Sebastian, Florida, physical health, financial situation to improve so that I may contribute more to this wonderful world. And then we have Marcia, released from psychic attacks. Then we have Jan in Laguna, California. Oh, actually, Jim, and I think that is Marcia. Is that, I don't know if that's Jim or Marcia. She's just putting Jim in the light, and Margaret in New York City. Please keep my husband, my brother, and my parents healthy and safe in the new year. Then we have Barbara in Twin Falls, Idaho. Balance in all of her relationships. And Keith in California. Please heal my girlfriend who has been sick and is having a strange rash on her hands. And we have, never can pronounce this name, I'll do my best, Giba Yaga in Nigeria, who asked for help with his glaucoma. And Lori in Tombstone, asking that chemtrails be stopped. GMO and Monsanto, stop poisoning our food. And stop the negative. You know, when we ask these things, we ask for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. Susan in Los Angeles, body healing. And let's take a moment right now. Can you feel the energy as we read these people's names, the things they're asking for? You know, the way miracles happen is that we create the miracles. This energy that we brought into the line right now is miracle-producing energy, and we have created it. Now, there's this illusion that I created it, because I'm talking. You're not talking. But you know, you're listening. And every time I do these calls, every time I'm in front of the public, I can feel the quality of the listening. And where I go on the call, what I say is very much dependent on you. And so many of you have been coming into these calls so regularly and have learned to hold these energies, and that when you come on, the energy is present and I can feel it. And it gives me the freedom to move into areas that I couldn't move into otherwise. If you heard me on George Norrie, you know, it was because I was there was not energy coming back from the group, the audience. I mean, a little bit, but and many of you were listening, and that was coming back. But I was talking to a group of people that this was all foreign to, and I only had 10 minutes. I couldn't talk like this. It wouldn't have flowed. It wouldn't have happened. The way I'm talking now is a product of us, not me. So we are creating the space on this call. We as a group. We as everyone who's listening on the internet. And when I talk, you're present in my field. And I'm present in your field. Not only that, people who are strangers in different sides of the world are present in each other's fields. That's what I think. And so we create the power of this group energy, and we have these two group souls that say they're present in our fields. So now we're going to use this power and hold it. Terry, you're moving around too much.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No.
Yeah. Oh, good. Let me just turn on the console so when I hear this extra noise, I can mute people. Okay. Let me see. Who is that? All right. I think Kaya's got it. So let's just, all those people on that healing list, let's just send them the best of our love and light. As a group. And let's send all of us on this line that need help, that need changes, that need healing, that need synchronicities, that need miracles. Let's put all of us on the light, in the light. Years ago, I used to have this idea that there's billions of people in the world, and that if I was looking for something, there had to be somebody looking for me, and we couldn't find each other. So if you're looking for something, you have to go where you can be found. Whether it's a partner, a companion, a local group that you can participate in, a job, you've got to go where what you're looking for is. You've got to pick up the phone and reach out. Like, for example, I think it's really good to be affiliated with a group, a local group right now, a support group. And there's all kinds of different groups. There's Meetup, there's churches. You know, if you feel isolated, do what I did. Just start going through every group, call them up, look at their website, and see which one calls to you, and then show up and see if it feels comfortable. And don't feel obligated to come back if it doesn't feel comfortable. And ask the universe to help you, to create a synchronicity, to guide, to give you guidance. Because what you're looking for is looking for you. And get over your resistance. Push yourself through that. I don't want to face the world today. I don't want anyone to see me today. I don't look good today. I feel a little grumpy. Push through all of that and do it anyway. Now, you know what? In all the talk I did, I brought in the energy. I didn't even do our group meditation. But I think what I'm going to do is we're just going to take a few minutes of silence and realize that the energy is present. I don't have to talk. It's there with you. Now, if you're feeling that energy, direct it into those situations in your life where you need healing or change. Aim it towards those people that you care about that need healing and change. You know, we have two group souls that say they're paying attention to us, that say they can read your mind. They don't impose, though. They don't intrude. You have to ask them. They say they can add to your energy. They don't do it for you. They add to what you do. So you can ask them for their help. Every one of you is part of all that is. No matter how separated you feel, you may notice your separation went away. You feel open. Nurture that part of yourself. When this call is over, hold that space for as long as you can.
Now, Daphne was threatening to get on the line. Are you there, Daphne, by any chance? We're going to bring a message in via Terry. From our sources. And I'm going to call in the light, and the light is already here. We've already done it. This is just the formal way of shorthanding, creating space. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line, and everyone on the replays, and everyone on the internet. And we release all negativity to the higher realms of light for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, coming in right through the ceiling, through the top of our head, through our bodies, and into the Earth. And right now we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we are inviting our sources to give us a transmission for this Sunday, December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas, appropriate for this moment in time and space, through Terry Brown. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 23rd of December, 2012, and we are delighted to be with you, each and every one of you, today. And we are also with Earth, and we are over the viewpoint of Earth, looking at Earth, looking at the scenery, looking at the snow in places, looking at the warmth in other places. And we impart love light, because this is a very beautiful contribution, these frequencies that these, we say, manifestations are operating at, are beautiful, rich resonance that add to the storehouse, the treasures of all that is. We are, for each and every person that wishes it, we are available to you. We do not come over the telephone line. We do not come over the radio. We do not come over the computer. We bypass all that, and we are directly there. As you resonate to our frequencies, we resonate with your frequencies, and we bring a purity of frequency, a purity of love, a purity of flow, where we unlock stucknesses. We unlock the locking into paradigms that one wishes to change. We bring flow to that, and we bring a little bit of an impetus that can grow if one wishes to unlock those stuck points and to begin to open them up so one can flow, one can, as one expands the stuck points, one can see things that are involved in the stucknesses that are there. The negative attack might be one where there's a difference between two things, the negative and the positive. And the negative is encroaching on the positive and is pushing on it. And the positive is in pushing back. And there becomes a locked problem that the individual cannot move through. This can be coming from the outside in, from a government regulation to something that the individual is trying to work past. They become stuck points, which become problems. And they're stuck because there's two equal sides, one way, one the other way. It could be someone in your neighborhood that is jealous and is trying at a very low level to obtain superiority, and it becomes a problem. However, one can move past that stuck point and can include other frequencies rather than narrowing oneself down to those frequencies. One can include the frequencies that are higher, and one can blast through, and one can move forward past that. It takes observation to see what it is that is precisely and actually going on, as there are different variations, even in the area of negative attack, to observe and to see what it is. Is it from outside? Is it something that has opened oneself up to you from a belief from the inside? Beliefs set structures. They begin a manifestation moving into the physical. The beliefs sets the structure of what is to be attracted to it to set up some manifest situation. So if one can change the belief, then they open themselves up to moving out of that detrimental situation into another, and they allow other beliefs, positive, harmonious beliefs to come in and to supersede the belief that is bringing a non-harmonious or detrimental manifestation into one's life. We can speak more about that yet some other time, as it opens a door for change within one's life, for other beliefs to supersede the detrimental belief, and for one to bring into their life other options, other openings for other options. Communication is a big part in opening oneself up. If one is looking for a job, then communicating the things that you have to offer to someone out there to match yourself up with themselves, that would be the perfect opportunity for growth, for finances. And this moves into the area of relationships. If one is looking for a relationship, there is someone else out there that is looking for you, and to open oneself up to communicating that someone out there can find you. We almost see a song like, there's someone out there somewhere. Not only in the area of relationships of the family and closeness, but in the relationships of jobs, in the relationships of friendships, so that one leaves loneliness behind. Sometimes when one is a child, they are sitting in an environment where the parent, in the effort to make the child perfect, conveys that the child is wrong or the child is not worthy. And after sitting in that, the person takes on that belief in a subconscious way, so that even if there is someone, other people out there that are feeling friendly and are loving, then they don't get the message, because in between that lovingness coming toward them is the message that they had gotten and set up as a manifestation in their life when they were a child, so that they aren't seeing what is happening exactly when the other person is being loving, and then the individual might put a twist on it. The parents had put a twist on their ability to open and to receive love, and parents are one's world when one is very little. And so one incorporates that in their view of the world. And it needs to be observed and let go of little by little, so that the individual can again become open to love without that twist or that interpretation that had been put on by the parents. And the parents' huge effort to make the child perfect. And no one is perfect, although one might strive for it. And then on another look, everyone is perfect. When you consider all of the things that they are working through and are struggling to achieve and are working through, we consider this sacred moment in time, the Christmas season, where we feel the love of the family, the joy, the anticipation, the putting forth of something precious for the ones one loves, the giving. It is a model time that one can begin to feel, not only within families that celebrate the holidays, but in the consensus reality, this cooperation, this love gets into the consensus reality and is there for all, and is, in a sense, we could say, knocking on one's psyche to be let in. We love you all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, one of the keys that I've learned
to moving through obstacles, to moving through negativity, is to be able to find the best in everything. You know, all of us, none of us are perfect. None of your friends are perfect. None of your family is perfect. There are people that are putting out thought forms that, if those thought forms grab you, they bring you down. And one of the ways that I've used, and I think can work for lots of people, of how to deal with this is look for the best in other people. See the best. It's as if everyone is a transmitter of loads of frequencies, and you're going to choose what you respond to. And those people in your life that push your buttons are pushing your button because you have those same things in you at some level. Maybe they're not as predominant as the other person. Maybe they're not running your life, but they may be running their life. So because it's in you, it pushes your button. And when your button gets pushed, you could look at it as a teaching mechanism. What do I have to do to get around this? So surround it with light. Call in the light. Surround the whole circumstance with light. But do not judge the other person. Now, you may decide at a certain point to exclude them from your life. You may decide that, and that's okay. But do it without judgment. Do it because they're pushing your button, and you can't stop it, and it disrupts your life. And even if it's something in you, it still disrupts your life. Send the light to both them and the part of yourself that's getting pushed. But don't judge them. Don't make them wrong. Don't make them evil. This is the way you get back into control for your own life and your own consciousness. And that's not an easy task to do, because when something is pushing your button, it gets you angry. It takes your power away. It takes your dreams away. And then watch about what you talk about to other people. One of the things I've learned is if you're doing something new, and if you're reaching for something high, and you haven't gotten there yet, when you first start, it's like a tiny seed that's going to grow into a tiny sprout. And it's not good to talk about that to anyone. It's good to hold it in a sacred place, nourish it, water it, support it, and let it grow until you're secure in this tiny seedling that's now grown into a tree. But at the beginning stages, anyone can stomp on it and destroy it. So keep it to yourself. Or if you talk about it to anyone, only talk about it to people that understand this process. Because the people around you particularly when they're not on that path, will put it down. Or they'll feel jealous. And if you allow yourself to pull those energies into your consciousness, you're going to risk setting your own growth back, because you'll put all their opinions into it, all their thoughts into it. And you need to be sovereign in this. You need to be having your own counsel, or being very, very careful about whoever's counsel or opinions you let into your consciousness, or you'll set yourself back. And as you learn how to do this, and you learn how to then see what's best in people, you will start learning how to encourage what's best in them instead of responding to what's worst in them.
Vin, I believe that Daphne has joined the call.
She has. Daphne, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Hi. How long have you been listening?
I'm sorry?
How long have you been listening?
Oh, about 15 minutes.
Okay. Let's see, what time is it? It's 12:37, 40. So we only have 13 minutes. And I'd like to do a planetary healing. So, I don't know. Do you feel inclined to bring a little message in?
That would be possible.
Okay. So, let's tell our sources to keep it short and 3 or 4 minutes. And then we'll go into our planetary healing session. Okay?
Okay.
So, let's bring our energies together and bring the light in, which is already here. We send protection and love to Daphne, who is in Half Moon Bay, California. And I'm going to turn it over to our sources to bring in a communication through Daphne. Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Heist. Thank you, Terry, and everybody on the line. So glad you're here. One moment, please. The energies of Ra have been present very strongly, and I'd like to do some toning here for some frequencies.
love and the light of the one infinite creator. We are indeed blessed, blessed that you have all gathered, blessed that you direct your love, light, and your focus one to each other and to this space and to the upliftment of beloved Gaia, for she is indeed in a state of sacred upliftment. You, beloved, are learning to hone your earth crystalline seed. You, beloved, are learning to attenuate your frequency, to make precise your frequency of the love light Christ's consciousness, which indeed is being planted now in the new soil, in the new vibrational frequency of the new earth. This is indeed a momentous time, a time of new fertility, a time of new beginnings, a time of new ripening, a time of new exploration. You are indeed understanding that the fabric of your divine expression is something momentous and something to be discovered and awaiting you. You are learning to be co-creators. You are learning to be conscious co-creators. We know you have heard these words before, but when we hear words, it is a matter of time and a matter of purposeful intent before these words can be put into a pragmatic rubber on the road kind of doingness. You are moving from a sense of sacred beingness into a sense of sacred manifestation, a sake of doingness. There is a new balance between the beingness and the doingness. You are learning what this feels like. You are learning what it is to have the pen in the hand and to manipulate with the fingers this writing instrument and this writing tool. When we speak of writing instruments and writing tools, it is you who are the instrument. Your tools, your thoughts posit on the etheric fabric of the all that is a creation. You are the creator. Your thoughts, your intentions, your actions, your words, your deeds, your love, your withholding of love as well, create what it is you would experience. You are learning this in a very tangible form now. We bless you. We greet you. We hold you. Know this. This is Ra.
If you're one of those that are listening for the first time or early on, just to give a quick explanation, when we bring these messages in, I try to remember to say that this is not something for you to give your power over to. That if something is in a message that is wisdom that you can apply, that helps you be more centered, then use it and make it your own. The sources that speak to us say that there are two group souls. One of them is the Elohim group, and the Elohim group say that they created the universe and that they've spent many, many sessions. If you go to thespiritchannel.net and go through our archives, I think one of the most fascinating things in there is this series on how the Elohim created the universe, and see if that resonates with you. And things got a little bit screwy here, and because they gave free will, then they didn't regulate and control everything, and things took their own course. And they're still available to help us change the course, but we have to ask because they honor free will. So putting them on and giving them a visibility on our calls is giving us the opportunity to ask. And then we have the Ra group. And the Ra group is who we believe spoke through Edgar Cayce, through Carla Ruckert, through David Wilcock. And the Ra group is another group soul that's made up of graduates of this realm. It's a, the voices you're hearing are not one entity, we believe, but it's a manifestation of a group putting together those words coming through either Terry or Daphne. And the Ra group is made up of graduates, and that means they're souls, entities that came into the physical universe and had many, many lifetimes. I mean, in our work, it's usually indicated that people have gone through thousands of lifetimes, and every time they have a lifetime, they forget everything. And we get trapped here, and we get stuck, and we can't get out. That's why we keep coming back. Well, certain amount of beings do graduate this realm, and they go on with their evolution, and they explain that they have teamed together to create a group soul that is working on behalf of all of us that are trapped. And they work more closely in than the Elohim. And they work more in creating plans and how to create contributions to our planet that can lift people and the vibration here. So according to my understanding, the Ra group was very much connected in the manifestation of Jesus. So the Ra group has a bit more wisdom about certain things than the Elohim. The ability to go into our consciousnesses and understand the feeling of being trapped, whereas the Elohim group does not have the experience of being trapped here. And they learn things vicariously by watching. They can join with a consciousness here, and I think they can feel the pain that someone's going through, but they have never been trapped in the pain, whereas the Ra group has. So it's two different perspectives, and that we are, as a group, very blessed to get access to both of these sources in their assistance in helping us transcend our own compressions and our own hang-ups and our own obstacles and our own belief patterns, and to access those higher parts of ourselves many of us have had huge challenges in accessing because we've been trapped. So I thank you all for coming and supporting this work. And I hope it's supporting you back, and I think it is, from the emails I get and from just the fact that you keep showing up. And right now, we are going to do a planetary healing meditation, visualization actually, and we move back into this group energy, this conglomerate that is all of us on the line, all of us on the replays, all of us on the internet. Shut your eyes a moment and see if you can feel that. And we are going to now direct this energy for the highest good of all concerned, honoring free will, to our planet and all the beings on it. So we can see this energy existing, but it's in another dimension. In other words, we're creating a group energy in a different timeline than Earth. And we are now going to slowly move our group energy through the dimensions so it slowly starts to approach our physical planet. And we can visualize it merging and blending with the energies of Earth. Moving through every crack and crevice. Moving around the dark. And so it's like a cloud of energy surrounding our planet. And we send this energy right into the Earth. Loving the earth, appreciating the earth, gratitude for the earth. The earth is alive. The earth can feel. We all live on the earth. We're all in the field of the earth. In the law of one, there's no separation. We are the earth. We are this energy. And we are blending it all together in this moment to create new possibilities, new potentials. You know, in this blending of energies, we are never losing our own individuation. Everyone on this call is a sovereign being, holding the space from their own unique vantage point. And we are becoming a team voluntarily out of our own free will choice. And we do this because a team has more power than an individual. And this is a huge team we're creating because we have billions of beings in these groups that are part of our team helping us. We ask that any earthquakes that can be done gently and away from population centers, we ask the Earth to help us with that. We send the light to the Earth-Sun connection for the balancing of solar flares. We ask to touch the high selves of all those beings on our planet that are dedicated to service, the light workers, the indigo children, the crystal children, who are no longer children. We ask for obstacles to be placed for all those who would be creating plans and plots to take away the free will of all of those that are reaching. We ask that our sources help protect the space so that people can grow and change and uplift themselves. We ask for freedom of the internet and communication. We ask for the disabling of all those things that are creating negative frequencies on our planet. Interference. We ask for the transmutation of anything negative in chemtrails so it's rendered harmless. And we ask that every one of you can attract the things in your life that you need for the highest good, the healings that you're calling for, so that you can participate in this transformation that's taking place to your best ability. And on that note, it's 12:58. I want to remind you all that Daphne's album, Chiron Wind, is available on store.intelligent-infinity.com, and I'll bet you really like it, and I'll bet that it helps hold the frequencies. And we will see you tomorrow on our Monday night call. We might have Carla Ruckert there. And if you feel in a really, really good space right now, don't jump into something else. Hold the space.